Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Hello, good morning and welcome. Brendan Courtney here again today. Oliver's back tomorrow. It's Wednesday the 4th of December and I'm with you till 10 a.m. As usual, we'd love you to chat with us. What's up? 087-032-3232. And you can send pictures on it, which is great. And I will try and describe them to our listeners. Or you can text 51551 and also email oliver@rte.ie. We do love hearing from you. Big news for Irish literature. Last night, Oprah Winfrey unveiled her latest book club selection, and it is, drumroll, Small Things Like These by Claire Keegan. Obviously, the book is a huge hit anyway, but looking at this positioning continues, I think, to tell the world about the atrocities dealt with in the story. If you don't know, and lots of people have read this book, in fact, I think it's one of the only books that every single person I've spoken to about it has read it, and because it's a small book and it's a quick read, but it's a magical book as well and haunting. The story is set in Ireland in December 1985 and follows Bill Furlong. He's a father and a local coal man as he uncovers the truth about a Magdalene laundry. It's now obviously a stunning hit movie. Well, Claire flew out to New York City to talk about her book with Oprah and a room full of readers as part of Oprah's book club. It is probably the biggest book club in the world and the strongest commercial endorsement, that's for sure. Here's when they met. Have a listen.
I am so happy that the author of this beautiful story, Small Things Like These, Claire Keegan, has traveled all the way from Ireland. Let's welcome her. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
When we meet the main character, Bill Furlong, is this somebody you knew?
No, he's a complete invention. Not based on anyone I know, and I didn't even have a conversation with a coal man before or during or after writing this book. I just made him up. But I think the imagination, I think language is older and richer than we are, and when you start playing around with it, it gives you sometimes what you're looking for.
Brilliant, brilliant. But Oprah also went on to talk about learning about the Magdalene laundries for the first time, which is quite fascinating. And here's her description. It's so succinct and clear.
I had never heard of the Magdalene laundries.
Me neither.
The fact that this is a fictional story written by Claire Keegan, but based on non-fictional situations from 1922 to 1996 in Ireland, there was something called the Magdalene laundries, where so-called wayward girls,
yes,
would be taken and put into this convent of laundries and actually treated as slaves.
Yes.
And this story, which is heartwarming and meaningful, and it's about a father trying to do the best he can for his family and then has this decision to make, I had never heard.
Wow, it's amazing. Something surreal, isn't there? And sort of clarifying, hearing Oprah describe that, something we've lived with for so long here. She uses the word slavery as well. I think it's kind of validating and cathartic. So congratulations, Claire Keegan. And congratulations to, of course, Cillian Murphy. I am yet to go and see the movie, so I'm going to go and see it this week, I hope. Another really heartwarming story, but it's quite sad, I'm not going to lie. It makes the front of The Examiner, but it's very moving. The headline reads, "Crowds fill funeral mass for woman with no next of kin." So the story goes, Mary Regan, who's 89, died last week in her nursing home in Carlow, but was originally from West Cork. Her partner died last year and she was predeceased by all her siblings. So the Carlow funeral director, Rory Healy, put up a post on Facebook explaining how Mary had no next of kin and that it would be great, be great to see a lady who lived to nearly 90 years get a farewell from her adopted hometown. And the call was heeded. About 200 people turned up on a cold morning yesterday to Mary's funeral mass at the Church of the Holy Family in Esquí, Carlow. I think that's just such a lovely story. That would nearly bring a tear to my eye. People are good, aren't they? It's such a lovely story of human kindness. Staying looking across the papers, actually, and lots of papers reporting that actress Kate Winslet, her of Titanic fame, has hit out about reliving another appalling, this is a quote, experience of body shaming at the hands of red carpet reporters when she was a little younger. So she got very emotional while doing an interview on the American TV show 60 Minutes, which I love, actually. She was, you know, they do sort of deep dive interview with the star. She was promoting her new movie, which I'm super looking forward to. It's a biopic about Lee Miller, the photographer and filmmaker. Lee, I was a little bit of a muse of mine when I was in college. She was one of the first women to wear trousers in American society. I think it was like in the 20s and 30s. And Kate Winslet is going to play Lee Miller. It'll be brilliant, I'm sure. But the interviewer in the 60 Minutes, like last week it was, a couple of days ago even, played a clip from the 1998 Golden Globes red carpet. And a reporter is heard talking and describing Kate's red carpet look. Now, Kate is 22 at the time. Think about it. She's only 22. She's just done the biggest movie of her life. She pictures a long Titanic co-star, Leonardo DiCaprio. The picture's actually familiar. She's wearing this, it's a fitted fishtail, sort of spaghetti strapped, black lace over nude base dress. If I can't describe a dress, nobody can. Bear with me. She looks stunning. Stunning. Do you remember that thing around that time? That it's over 20 years ago, but it was a nude base with black lace over it and fitted. Really beautiful and elegant. How times have changed. Here's the red carpet reporter's comments from 1998 about how she looks.
Kate's a little melted and poured into that dress. And, you know, she just needed two sizes large and it would probably have been okay.
The neck of her. Oh, my God. So she, if it was a little muffled there, she said Kate looked a little melted and poured into that dress and she should have gone two sizes larger and she'd be okay. That is quite shocking, isn't it? I mean, I do remember Joan Rivers' commentary about what people were wearing, but Joan is a comedian and she was risque and it was all in laughs. But that's hard. She's 22. But Kate goes on to say in that recent interview, the 60 Minute interview, that she actually confronted the body shaming reporter. And here's what she said.
I let them have it. I said, I hope this haunts you. It was a great moment. It was a great moment because it wasn't just for me. It was for all those people who were subjected to that level of harassment. It was horrific. It was really bad.
She gets very moved there. She actually teared up and you can watch the clip online of her 60 Minute interview. Really, it struck me, you know, commenting on people's bodies and weights, it's just completely unacceptable. And it just shows the damage it does. And at 22, in the public eye, seeming to have it all, but being, you know, slightly tortured by that. But she's a very strong advocate about breaking down that kind of talk now. But I think it's interesting that she still is moved to tears by it. Quite sad, isn't it? Now, more female amazing stars. It's safe to say, I would say, 2024 has been the year of the female pop star. Think like Charlie XCX, Chappell Roan, Sabrina Carpenter. They have all had incredible 2024s, for example. But Billboard magazine, one of the loudest voices in pop culture and music news, has taken it a step further. They've been searching for the greatest pop star of the 21st century. Wow, no mean feat. So the greatest pop star of the 21st century, and it's all artists, male and female. The likes of Britney, Gaga, Rihanna and Drake, they all do very high on the Billboard chart. And Billboard announced, okay, Swifties, put your tea down, don't get upset. Taylor Swift was number two on the list. Now, she would have won by numbers, apparently, but it only left one human to take the top slot, obviously, Queen Bey, Beyoncé. So Beyoncé is the number one greatest pop star of the 21st century, according to Billboard magazine. And they know. So obviously fans have had a lot to say about it. But Billboard explained, quote, while Taylor Swift is the century's biggest pop star by numbers, so that's obviously money, chart, albums, Beyoncé tops our staff-chosen editorial list based on her full 25 years of influence, impact and evolution. Controversial numbers versus staff's opinion. Pop stardom is more than numbers, though Taylor Swift fans have been venting their objections online. And I'm not going to read any of them. You can go online and read them if you want to get involved. Anyway, the battle is likely of no interest to Taylor and Beyoncé. They are pretty good pals. We can often see them helping each other out through mutual appearances and sending lots of love on social. So, you know, women lifting up other women and all that. Fair play to them. Actually, we just saw in the paper that there's an advert for a Taylor Swift OK magazine special. And the tagline reads, "The perfect gift to Swiftmas." Ugh, could really do without those dud jokes, couldn't we, on a Wednesday morning? You can honestly put Swift into anything. Text 51551 with your Swifty gags, please. I love them. Anyway, I went to see Taylor Swift this year. I was one of the privileged few. And I have to say, I thoroughly enjoyed it. Didn't know much about her But I knew her music, and I'm glad I went because this is my favourite Taylor Swift song of all time, Delicate.
Listen for the best. My reputation's never been worse, so you must.